time, sorry, lifetime of experience, but I will try my best. I want to start off with a few questions, and hopefully come up with some sort of theory to try to put all these questions together. So before we get onto the Mikaro sheet, let's run through these questions. The Torah tells us, Ki yishalcha bincha machar lemar. The Torah tells us that if your son asks you tomorrow about certain mitzvot that we are doing. So we all know these psukim, we know them very well from the Agada. And we know that when it comes to, these are the psukim of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. When it comes to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we all know that it's stated in a style of questions and answers. Meaning, we have the Manishtana, the Kana Ben Shoel, as the Rambam writes, meaning the child asks the Manishtana the questions, and if there's no child, somebody else asks the questions. And then we go on to an answer, to a process of answering these questions through Avadim Hayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim, etc. So we all know that as a fact. A couple of years ago, it dawned upon me during the Seder, why? Why is the Seder night such a fundamental night for Am Yisrael? Why is that night built around questions and answers? And why the question is so fundamental to the process of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Why can't we just go ahead, sit around the table, pull out the storybook, and just say, okay, kids, we got to tell a story right now of what happened to our forefathers. And even if we want to expand of Ilul Otsianu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzrayim, Anu Vanenu, Vnei Vanenu, Meshuabadim, Ayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim, even if we want to connect it to ourselves, why is the question and answer such a fundamental piece of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, maybe one of the most basic educational parts of the Jewish calendar? To ask the next question, I want to give an introduction a little bit. There is a very famous machlokas, it's really around the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in the Gemara Daf Mem Chet Masechet Brachos, and that is in the mitzvah of Chinuch, is the mitzvah on the parent to educate the child? Is that the mitzvah? Meaning the parent has an extra obligation so he could prepare his child for adulthood, and therefore he's preparing him by making him used to and comfortable to the mitzvahs? Or is there actually a mitzvah on the child? Meaning the Torah obligates an adult from the age of 12 or 13 to start doing mitzvot. Chazal expand that to an earlier age, to an age where the child already understands what he's doing. We'll get to that definition. So there's a machlokas again, a very fundamental machlokas, is the mitzvah on the parent, because you can't obligate a child in any mitzvot because he's not an adult, or is the mitzvah on the child, and that's the extension of the chazal, meaning chazal go from adulthood a few years back, maybe 5 years back, maybe 6 years back, maybe a year or two back, whatever that might be. Also here, what I would like to get to this afternoon is to get to an inner insight, what's really going on here, and not from a halachic perspective, but from a fundamental educational perspective. Is there an argument about how to educate our children or how to educate our young adults? Another machlokas rishonim, and a fascinating one as it is, is when we fulfill, when we give in the mitzvah of chinuch the child to fulfill the mitzvah, do we have to give him the details of that specific mitzvah? Meaning, for example, we take a lulav and esrog, adas and arava, our four minim, and they all have many halachos of what's a kosher one and what's a mahadran one, and so on. When I get one for my child, does it also have to be the same level that I get for myself? Just I'm on a doraisa level, on a Torah level, and he's at the rabbanon level. Or, no, it's education. So all I'm really doing is I'm trying to get him comfortable with the mitzvah. It doesn't make a difference. It could be kosher, it could be pasul, it could be mahadrin, it could be non-mahadrin. Meaning, do I have to make sure of all the details? Another machlokas rishonim, And again, here, I'm asking an educational question. What is going on from an educational perspective? What is the tension here? Again, non-halachic. We'll discuss, if we have time, we might discuss the halachic consequences. But from an educational perspective, what is the tension between these shitas rishonim? When we talk about empowerment and not discussing necessarily from a Torah perspective, we talk about the following steps. We talk about identifying the person, in this case, the child, as an individual, viewing him or her, as an individual, recognizing the fact that they have an opinion, they have an insight, they have capabilities, they have pros, they have the challenges. Viewing them as an individual who has all these factors. And when we talk about that on an educational level, we talk about the necessity of listening, following, and maybe the steps of the concept of what it means to empower a child or a student in the process of education. What I want to suggest today, and I'm going to do that through the questions that we spoke about, is I think that that is exactly what the Torah is training us in the process of its education. And what the Torah is telling us at the end of the day, that if you want to succeed in really giving over the Mesorah, giving over the qualifications, the morality, the Musar, from parent to son, from parent to child, from Rebbe to Talmud, you have to follow these same steps of identifying the individual, the child as an individual, realizing his powers, his capabilities, giving him authority and responsibility, allowing him to fail and make his mistakes, being there to support her throughout the mistakes that he or she may make, and giving them the capability of really making it part and parcel of who they are as individuals. And in order to start that, I definitely want to start with the Mar Makomos. If we read a very, very famous Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, I'm so many of you have seen this or heard this Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch in the past. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch in Mar Makom number 1 compares between Esav and Yaakov. So many of us may raise an eyebrow. What do you mean comparing between Esav and Yaakov? They're not comparable. Not comparable in anything. Not in their nature, not in their attitude, definitely not in their obligation to Avodas Hashem, and definitely not in their connection to Judaism and religion. But Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch becomes very critical of the education that Yitzchak and Rivka give Yaakov and Esav, and in some ways actually blames Esav on Yitzchak and Rivka's education. Let's just go through this. Vayigdalu ki aniguda amok sheben echdei Avraham mekorai kariaya lo rak betchunoteyem elagam bechinucham halakui. Kol od ayuktanim lo samu lev levdeleni tiotem anistarot. Torah achad v'chinuch echad iniku l'shneem. Says Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, you have to realize that the difference between Avram's grandchildren, Yaakov and Esav, is not just their personalities, but also their bad education. Because as long as they were children, Yitzchak and Rivka did not pay attention to the differences that they had, and they gave them the same form of education. The shachachu klal gadol b'chinuch, chanoch lanar al pi darko, yesh lechanei lechaven et hachanich b'etem ledarko amiyuchadit lo be'atid, ha'olemet et hatchunot v'hanetiyot haredumot b'imkei nafsho, v'kach lechaneich oto likrat ha'matara ha'teora ha'enoshit v'yehudit ka'achat. התפקיד היהודי הגדול האחד והיחיד בעיקרו, אך דרכי הגשמתו רבות ורב גבוניות, כריבוי תכונות האדם וכרב גבונית דרכי חייהם. Says Rav Shimshon of Paul Hirsch, what Yitzchak and Rivka misunderstood was the fact that Esav and Yaakov are two different individuals, and the education to them, therefore, has to be very different. It has to identify them as individuals. It has to empower them with what their skills, their skill set is, and their capabilities are, and then they'll be able to grow with that. We have to understand that even though Am Yisrael's mission is a tremendous and a unique mission, we have to realize that it's got a lot of nuances in its overall mission. Davka mishum kach chanoch lanar api darko. Chancheu lematara gdola echat api darko miyuchedet lo beetem latid atzavui lo minitiyotav. Hamoshiv, and this is the punchline, Hamoshiv et Yaakov ve'esav al safsal limudim echad, ובאותם הרגלי החיים מחנך אותם כאחד לחיי לימוד ומחשבה, מובטח לו שאת האחד מהם הוא מקלקל. Any educator, any parent who takes Esav and Yaakov with their personalities and educates them the same way, puts them in the same school, puts them in the same class, gives them the same concept and the same educational direction, has to realize that by definition, he's going to ruin one of them. There's going to be a failure with one of his children. Yaakov yishav mimayana chumah b'chefetz gover v'olech. Yaakov is going to be like a magnet. He's going to track whatever's going on around him to continue learning. V'le'esav rak yitzpeh liyom bo yashlich mechorei gabot asfarim ha'yishanim. Esav is just going to wait for the day that he could throw the books out and run out of school. Ilui miku Yitzchak v'Rivka lachtor l'nefesh Esav. Ilui dimu lishol et atzmam ha'ich yicholim gam ha'omets ha'koach v'agmishut ha'redumim b'nefesh Esav ha'ich yicholim kolel la'tod shechem la'avodat Hashem ke'az ha'gibor shel ha'atid yeh gibor tzayid. If Yitzchak and Rivka just would have asked themselves, just for a second, okay, I realize that Yaakov and Esav have different attributes and different powers, and therefore we realize they have different needs. They could have used this energy, this power that Esav brings to the table, they could have helped channel it in a positive direction and not in a negative direction. So here's step number one. Step number one, in the strongest way possible and most critical way possible, to the people that we're most sensitive about, to our avot v'imaot, not to be critical about, comes Rav Shimshon of Paul Hirsch, rips out all politically correct language and just goes straight for the shoot. And he says to us, you think that Esav was a gzera from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You think that Esav's reality was impossible because Esav was Esav? I want to suggest to you, says Rav Shimshon of Paul Hirsch, that that's not true. That is not the situation. But rather, hand in hand with that, it's the education. Meaning, a better educator than Yitzchak and Rivka would have been capable in taking Esav's tchunot, Esav's personality, and channeling it in a positive way as opposed to a negative way. And the only way to do that is by first and foremost realizing there's an individual. In other words, in the Masorah of education, I'm not just taking a pattern that I had in the past, as successful as it was, and just using the same pattern and saying, okay, just repeat A, B, C, and D, and then you will be successful. The fact that it was successful to me as a parent, the fact that it was successful to me as a Rebbe, has absolutely zero indication about its success and its capability in my child, because what I really have to do is I have to identify his needs, and identify the fact that he is an individual for all the sense that that means. Meaning, if I had the capability, or if Yitzchak and Rivka had the capability of identifying Esav's powers, they could have channeled that in the positive direction and made and turned that into something positive. Okay, so we see step number one. Step number one is identifying the individual that's in front of us, identifying his qualifications, identifying his pros and his powers, plusing his pluses, as opposed to deciding that by definition those pluses are negatives, rather using them as a tool in the process and the stages of education. Now, by the way, I also think that that could bring us towards answering question number one. The concept of questions and answers, by definition, as opposed to a story. In other words, the fact that the Seder night is built in this process of Manishtana and then Avadim Ha'inu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim is because it's trying to do something very clear and very strong. And that's trying to come and say, look at the child that's in front of you. Don't just pull out the storybook and say, well, I have an amazing story. How could you not get excited about Yetzias Mitzrayim? How could you not see the fact that Am Yisrael is so special? How are you missing the point? Look at it. We're amazing. That's not the point. The point is, at the end of the day, listen to the questions that are being asked. Pay attention to the nuances. And Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah repeats the same concept. In other words, there are four different approaches. The same questions could be asked in four different ways. And they mean four different things. And none of them, even though we give qualifications of a Chacham, a Rasha, a Tam, a Sheinoy Deal Ishol, none of them are being judged. We're not being judgmental about it. We're identifying it. It's more of a diagnose process of coming and saying, okay, I see this. I see the style and the nuance of how the question was asked. I pay attention to the individual that's in front of me. I'm identifying that, and now I'm responding in the right format and the right style to that individual question. Okay. Now I want to move on to the next step, which I think is crucial. I think this was very basic. I just think the next step is really crucial. And might be a little bit confused today in the educational system, and therefore I want to polish this, and this relates to the next discussions. Does the machlokas rishonim in education, as I said, in chinuch, does the child have to do the mitzvah in its details? Or does the child just have to be somewhat connected? And we'll get to that in a few minutes, but here I want to move on to the next step. The next step of empowerment is responsibility. The next step of empowerment is coming and saying, okay, I see the Talmud, Talmida, the son, the daughter in front of me. I identify the qualifications. May they be Ish Tam Yoshev Olam or Ish Tzayit. It doesn't make a difference what they are. I identify them. I see the greatness in them. But at that point comes the responsibility. The attitude of coming and saying, well, if I'm empowering the child, I'll let him do whatever he wants. That's not chinuch in the classical sense of the word. I'm not bringing a child who's of the age of chinuch into a sukkah and saying, do whatever you want. I am giving him a structure of what the sukkah means and what the details of the mitzvah of the sukkah mean, and I am expecting of him to produce and create. I'm identifying you as an individual. I'm realizing your needs and your pros and cons, but I'm also setting upon you at a very young age and bestowing upon you responsibility and telling you, I expect you to produce. So the fact that I'm empowering you doesn't mean, okay, whatever you do goes. I don't think that's empowerment in reality. I really think that that is lack of control. My feeling is that at this point, I'm coming to the child and I'm saying, listen, I know you're capable. I see where you're capable. I am putting the emphasis in the areas that you are capable. And now there is an expectation of producing. Now there is an expectation of creativity. Now there is expectation of bringing your individuality into that creativity and into that action. The mitzvah of chinuch is telling us that possibly the chiyuv is on the child from a very young age, and possibly the chiyuv is to the same minute detail as the chiyuv is on the adult, because I understand I could expect. I understand that I could really bestow responsibility upon you and expect you to produce. I'm not sure you could do that at the age of 6, might be at the age of 9, it might be at the age of 12, or maybe closer to the age of 13. But I do understand that coming and saying that this is hard for you is something that requires my attention and my help, but the approach and the attitude towards that is not, okay, so be it, so don't have to do it. So there is no level of obligation. No, the approach is, there's obviously an obligation here, there's obviously something you have to fulfill and do, possibly to its detail. I am here, I understand your capabilities, I understand your powers and your sensitivities, and together you could realize, or we could realize, or we realize that you are capable of dealing with this and succeeding in really doing this. Now, I want to be sensitive on both aspects. We have a very famous chazal, La'olam. This is not on the Mar Mekomos, because again, it's very famous. It doesn't directly mean education. La'olam tiyasmol docha v'yamin mekarevet. The balance of chinuch, we see the combination of the rejection in the left hand and the embracing in the right hand. And that is the combination of both of these aspects. Meaning on one hand, what I'm coming and saying is, there is an expectation. The expectation is clear. We do expect you to produce. On the other hand, I'm here to embrace you and to support you through this process. And the combination of both those aspects together is really the ultimate aspect of chinuch. Yes, by the way, the yamin, which is ultimately the power. The yamin is mekarevet. The kiruv is much more, the embracing is the stronger part. But there does have to be a clear factor and a clear understanding of a expectation of what has to be accomplished. We rely upon this child that we're talking about. We rely upon the student to be the future of Klal Yisrael. And we rely on him even at this stage. And this is why I'm quoting this again, very central Gemara in Masechet Sukkah Daf Mem Beis in the next Mar Makom. Katan ayodel in anea, chayav belulav, litatev chayav betzitzit, lishmor tfilin aviv lokeach lo tfilin, yodel edaber aviv lomdo torah v'kriyat shma torah mayi, Okay, so here we see mitzvos at what stage the chinuch starts. But that's not what I want to put the emphasis on. The emphasis is on the end. Hayodeya lishmor gufo. If he knows that a keep is clean, is body clean from tumah, ochlin al gufo taharos. We could rely upon him, the community could accept the fact that if he knows he's gotten to a stage of adulthood, that he's capable of making sure that he knows the difference between Tumah and Tara, and he's not going to touch Tumah, then we could rely upon that, and therefore we could eat the food that he does touch by assuming that he lived up to the standards that he's capable of living up to. And therefore, Ochen al yadav torot, ayodel yishael, b'reshut ha'achid sfeikot ha'meh, b'reshut ha'achim rabim sfeikot ha'or. If he knows how to answer a question, then we could rely upon him for another detail of Hilchos Tumah, which is complicated. I don't have enough time to get into it right now, I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, we rely upon him. Meaning we are going to go ahead and eat the food that he touched, even though we could have been suspicious that maybe he was not makpid not to touch something tummy and therefore he's tummy. If he knows the difference, we're empowering with the fact by coming and telling we the community, me the individual, I'm about to eat, me the coin, I'm about to eat something that if it was tummy I would be over an Easter. I trust that you lived up to the expectation and therefore I'm going ahead and accepting upon myself, I'm going to eat this food, even though it looks like it's tummy. So we see this concept. In other words, the concept here is not just the individual, it's not just your powers and capabilities, but it is, okay, now expectation. Now you need to produce. Now you need to create. Now you have to get involved, and we will trust you, and we will build the future of Klal Yisrael upon your shoulders, because that's your obligation, your system. I just want to end off. I have my last 5 minutes. I got my signing shkarech for that. I definitely would not have paid attention to that, so thank you very much. I just want to finish off that with maybe a little bit of a piece that relates to Sukkot. We start off with Pesach. Maybe there's something which relates to Sukkot that I think gives us all these details in an organized way. The Torah tells us that the reason we sit in the sukkah is leman yedu dorotechem ki basukot oshavti bnei Yisrael. We sit in the sukkah so the generation, the children, again, the education. Based upon this, many years ago, I've reached the conclusion that many of the halachos of sukkah could give us tremendous insight into education, and I want to give you a taste of a few that relate to the topic that I spoke about today. One halacha we have is that the sukkah is not allowed to be above 20 amah. If the sukkah is above 20 amah, it's a sukkah psula. The Gemara in Masechet Sukkah dot Beis Amud Beis brings three reasons to why. One is that if you sit in a very high sukkah, you can't see the schach, lo shalta be'ena. The other one is that if you sit in a very high sukkah, the shade comes from the tfanos and not from the schach. And the third one is that if it's a very tall sukkah, it has to be built keva, strong, permanent, and a sukkah is supposed to be arai, it's not supposed to be permanent. I think that these three yisodos relate directly to what I was talking about. Above 20 amah is telling us the following educational concept. Generate an obligation. Set the goal up high. The schach represents the connection to the Shechina, the connection to Avodas Hashem. Set the goal up high, but make sure that at every given moment there's an eye connection to what the child is supposed to reach and accomplish. Because if you take an Esav and you give him Yaakov's goals, you're not going to make it. You have to make sure that there's a visual connection at every point. It's got to be high, and you have to expect from him to produce, but it's got to be Shalta Be'ena. The second aspect is, this we have to also view as mechanchim, or future mechanchim, in any scenario. The second aspect is, we have to realize that though the tfanos and the schach are all very important, we always have to know and understand that the tzel is coming from the schach, the shade, the protection is coming from the schach, and not from the tfanos. In Am Yisrael and Taurus Yisrael, we view that the tfanos, which represent the gashmius, are extremely important. If you don't have them, your sukkah is not kosher. But the tzel and protection comes from the schach. Third factor is diras arai and diras keva. And this concept I'm not going to take in the morbid musar way, but rather in the very empowering psychological way. If a person, and definitely a child, understands that even if he's in a mashbeh right now, even if he has a challenge and a problem, and he failed and he wasn't successful, if he realized that this is going to change, there is a future, it's not always the way it is right now, this is only a metziut of arai, and he's capable of realizing and viewing tomorrow, and not just being in the dark today, then that's a future which is tremendous for education. And that was the third piece that I wanted to get to, and that is generating an obligation on one hand, but on the other hand, realizing that if there's a failure and there's room for mistake, that's fine. You're allowed to make a mistake. You're allowed to fail. As long as you committed to continue, that's awesome. Three more pieces. Eino mechubar lakarka is another halacha. I'm sorry. It's megidulei karka. First halacha is that the schach has to grow from the ground. Gidulei karka is, again, Taurus Yisrael, by definition, is rooted. We are part of a Mesorah. Me as an individual is very important, but it's within a structure of being rooted from the ground. And here comes maybe the most important piece of it all. But it's Eino Mechuber Lakarka. It's no longer connected to the ground, meaning he was capable of cutting it and making it his own. That is the Yisod, by the way, of Chanoch Lanara Pidarko, Gam Ki Yazkin Lo Yasur Mimena. Our goal and obligation in education is to make it yours. It's not mine. Me as an educator, I'm not giving you over something that's mine. It's something that's rooted from Masoris Yisrael, and now I want to do something to make it yours. And therefore, all the steps that we spoke about are crucial and critical, so he could be not take it from the karka. It came from the ground, but now he disconnected it and made it his. And maybe ending off with a very powerful message for today's generation, ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. At the end of the day, it's not only the bottom result of what the sukkah looks like at the end of the day. Because even though the sukkah looks like it's kosher, it might not be kosher. It's also an issue of making it. The effort, the sweat, the investment. How much did you really invest in this? The process itself is extremely important, and it's not just the result. And last but not least, the Rambam adds on another halacha, lo masriach, very interesting halacha, which is derabanan, comes from Yerushalmi. The schach is not allowed to stink. And here's another yisod of what we know as the fifth Shulchan Aruch of being a mensch. At the end of the day, you can have the most kosher schach, but if it stinks and it affects negatively the people around you and they feel like something is bad in this situation, then even in that case, the sukkah, the schach, the chinuch is wrong. Setting a goal, a distant goal, but reachable. The visual contact, the capability of valuing the process, realizing at the end of the day that there could be failure, and failure is an important part of growth, and supporting that failure, but on the other hand, not supporting by saying it's not a big deal, you're not really obligated, by supporting and saying we're building upon you, we make mistakes, we are human, that's part of who we are, let's go for it again, let's swing at the ball one more time, maybe we will be successful this time.